Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, my name is VexX, and this is episode number 44 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Today, tonight, this evening, we have the one, the only, the great and powerful Michael Belinsky.
Hello. Thank you for having me back, sir. It's super exciting to be here.
Why you just say that every time. I don't believe you.
I'm excited every single time. So, you're one of my favorite people. You are. And I'm not just saying that because you just recorded vocals for me.
There you go.
I'm saying that because I mean it.
I'm on your record.
You are.
It's a dead girl's record.
Yeah.
So I had to write more lyrics because the arrangement changed.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. So anyway.
I don't know. So the arrangement didn't change. That's the original arrangement. I think when we played it live, we changed the arrangement.
So if we're telling tales out of school, since we're on the podcast, and no one listens to this anyway, wink, wink. Michael Belinsky is the head, the founder, the leader, if you will, of a unique rock outfit called Pagan. More like a soundscape outfit.
I don't know. Yeah, it started off, it was just the instrumental stuff, because it was just me, and I didn't know what I was going to do with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now it's morphed. You have Universal Records behind you.
Yes.
Which, there was some kind of business transaction in reference to that label.
There was. So we're signed to a label called Gene Pool, which is a part of the universe under the umbrella. Universal umbrella. Gene Pool is run by a gentleman, Pete, who was a sales rep for Universal. He was like in charge of one of their sales divisions, and he ended up starting his own label that's distributed by them. So years ago, when MySpace was a thing, when it was like a prominent thing, when that was the social media
back in the 70s.
For everybody, yeah, back when the world was in black and white, it was a simpler time. People didn't fake hate crimes on themselves.
Wow. Well, we can talk about that too, I guess.
Well, you said you were going to bring that up, so of course we're going to get there.
Well, anyway, you should probably finish your explanation.
So Gene Pool distributed other labels, and there was this guy who we were offered a deal by Sony. And the Sony deal sucked. Aww. And it's nothing against Sony. It was just like that guy. Yeah. It was that A&R guy. It was kind of like, hey, I kind of think you could be a thing and we kind of want to sign you. So here's what I want you to do. And he signed a contract that isn't a record deal with us, but it basically says you're not going to sign with anybody else.
And no money.
No money. Oh, it was like the promise ring deal. Like, hey, we're going to fuck you maybe one day. But
no, but the promise ring gets a ring at least.
Yeah, that's true. It was the promise of a promise ring deal.
So Gene Pool has been absorbed by Universal.
Well, so what happened was we did a single through another label that was being distributed by Gene Pool, like a sub label.
Yes.
And they kind of like fucked up the single release. But the single did really well. So like Gene Pool was happy. I was happy with Gene Pool, just not that label. So we kind of cut out the middleman.
Okay.
And we just signed directly to Gene Pool. We made a distribution deal with them. And the way that it works is Universal used to have a U.S. distribution company called Fontana.
I heard of that.
Yeah, Fontana was their distribution arm in the U.S. So Fontana was largely bought out by another company, but with Universal still remaining like 25% owner. So it's still their company, but they don't run the day-to-day operations of it. And that became InGrooves. So the majority shareholder of InGrooves put their stock up for sale not that long ago. So Universal just took it as an opportunity to just buy back their company.
So they have it.
Yeah.
So you're now... you're
so it's totally under Universal now.
Good for you. Now, there's a band I'm a part of called Starscream.
I heard of them.
I heard they have a distribution deal with Universal.
They do.
They get no money from it, though. I don't know if you knew that. It's very upsetting.
They will. They have their first new record coming out since I've been working with them.
That's true.
Super excited.
Cold Weapons.
It is.
So today is February the 22nd.
Yes.
And I literally spent the entire afternoon after I went to the gym and ran 4 miles.
Nice. Good for you.
Working on all the liner notes and getting all the photography together. And the photographer for Starscream is a lovely woman named Michelle LaBrake Photography. That's her company. I should have said just her name, perhaps. But she's in a part of a band called So Low, who we were actually really good friends with. So she comes out and she takes pictures for us, and she does great fucking work. I'm one of my many marriages. She did one of the weddings for me, and there were lovely photographs.
There's a picture. It must be one that she took. I want it, like, because I'm in the process of not being homeless soon. And there's a great picture of you that I want, like, hung up in my house.
Oh, a great picture of me?
That's yeah, creepy. Just you. It's not creepy. It's sort of gay. Like, I'll masturbate to it sometimes, but not, like, all the time.
It's a little creepy.
No. It's, like, 20% gay.
All right, so anyway. Oh, $20 is $20. Anyway, right. The fucking guy from Empire beats himself up. Right. He pays two Nigerians who definitely look Caucasian. They look like gigantic monster African-American men, but they're not African-American. They're Nigerian. And they he lost his fucking job. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
So the whole thing was kind of like crazy. So I look at the bigger picture of this because I feel like as like a straight white male, I don't know that I'm qualified to comment on the hate crime aspect of it.
You just said you were going to masturbate to a picture of me, and I'm a male. So clearly the straight white male thing isn't really true anymore, is it?
I can still be white and masturbate to a picture of you. I don't think that's...
Anyway.
So, I don't know that I'm qualified to comment on that part. It makes me mad, but I don't know if I'm allowed to be mad about that part.
I'm definitely
that makes
not
sense.
Mad that it happened. I think it's fucked up and funny and a little sad.
I think it's sad. Everything that he just did is sort of like a microcosm of everything that's wrong with this country.
I'll tell you this, though. You've made videos and made films and things in your mm-hmm. experience. Actors are shit. No, it's true. They're just... this isn't even my line. I'm stealing it. So when the creators of South Park made that movie World Police and they used all the puppets, they wanted the Tonight Show. And Jay Leno's like, so why didn't you use actors? And they were like, oh, actors are complete pieces of shit. They're the worst human beings on the planet Earth, so we don't need to deal with that at all. Which is true. Like, I dated actresses. Mm. No one can lie to you more. And easy.
I mean, it's their job.
Yeah.
If they weren't good at lying, they would suck at their job. Well, so that's something where you always have to kind of wonder, I would think. I've never been in a relationship with an actor.
Yeah, actress, I guess. And a couple times.
Right, actress. Stop trying to trick me into saying gay stuff.
Yeah, well, you already did say the gay stuff. So it's, man. In my experience, actors are fucked. And I'm a C actor. Am I D actor? What kind of film?
No, you moved up. You're
a C. I'm a C actor now because I'm in a couple of films.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy had a son.
Yeah.
Ted Bundy's so hot right now.
I know. It's such great timing. It really is. That wasn't planned because this project is so massive. So what Vex is talking about is the latest movie in the amateur porn star killer saga, as it's called now. And it's this spinoff film called Ted Bundy Had a Son. And Shane Ryan, the creator of that, he wanted to go bigger and crazier than he ever had before. So he shot stuff all over the world at different film festivals and all. And then he had other directors come in and shoot scenes all over the world to piece together this massive scope movie. And as it sits now, it's hours and hours long. It's going to be released in 3 volumes.
I'm in that, right?
Yes,
that's
you are.
That's lovely. Creepy, but lovely. So anyway, actors are shit. And I feel bad for the kid. I'll tell you the truth of it. He's young. He's in his 20s. He's obviously not very educated. He was okay, I'm gonna do this. He went on Good Morning America, and Robin Robbins, I believe, is her name. Is that the woman who?
I think so. Yeah,
I think she had cancer a couple years ago. I really like her, and she's African American. I think she's also gay. And she interviewed him, and she was very serious, and she listened, and he was it was scary, and he's just fucking lying,
right to her face. Yeah.
But again, I'm not offended. I don't give a fuck. Someone said online, I read that they were well, if two Caucasian guys got pinched for this and blamed for it and locked up, no one would give a fuck. Okay, that's true. But it didn't happen because the fucking attack didn't happen. So I don't know.
And this isn't from everything I was seeing, this isn't the first thing that he staged. It's just the first one that got attention.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was sending himself threatening letters.
I did hear about the letters, and they're cut out from a magazine.
Yeah.
Now, I watch a podcast, and the podcast showed the letter. So if you look at it, it looks like almost a person, and then the person is scribbled out and becomes a tree, and then over here he's dangling from the tree. He started to draw himself as a person, but then saw that he was too far from the page to make the tree, so he had to make that into a tree. It's made by a 7-year-old. It's not even fucking threatening.
I didn't see the actual letter, but I heard about it, and I guess that didn't get enough attention, so he was I gotta go bigger.
Gotta go bigger. Gotta put a noose around my neck and buy some bleach. And then I saw the footage, I think today, of the Nigerian guys buying all the stuff in the store. Then they dropped the receipt at the end, stopped, picked it up, put it back in their pocket, which brought them right back to the store and the security camera. So had they lost the receipt, wink, wink, they would have never found out where they bought the shit.
Right.
Ironic, isn't it? He's like, I need to get my money back for this bleach here. That's crazy.
Taking these masks back. Yeah, I mean, there's so many problems with it. I can't really, I guess, comment on the hate crime part of it, but I understand where people are coming from, that it undermines legitimate things now.
Do you remember when the Me Too movement, Aziz Ansari?
Yes.
Did you remember his whole thing?
Yeah.
He stuck his fingers down a chick's throat. She blew him 7 different times, not to completion, during the date in his house. 7 times. And he did stuff to her, and he stuck his fingers down her throat. And then a month went by, and she was like, I have decided, after talking to my friends, that you took advantage of me, and I feel raped. And he was like, I hear you, but I didn't rape you, you know? And then he wore a Me Too movement fucking pin to an
right. thing
and she went crazy. Yeah. That ended the Me Too movement. Since that happened, no one's come out since, if you think about it. Like, kind of.
I think it's more the Asia Argento thing.
Oh, explain. I don't know what that is.
She was the one. She was one of the main.
She got caught.
Yeah, she got caught with
molesting a child.
Yeah. And she was one. It was like her, Rose McGowan, and a few other people were like the forefront of that.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. I mean, all right. I was 12 and not educated and a child living in Philadelphia, and I knew about the casting couch. So everybody knows about the casting couch. Like, you got to suck a little dick. You want to be in the movie, I guess. I don't know.
There's a great – do you watch Joe Rogan stuff at all?
Always, yeah.
So did you see his most recent Netflix special?
I didn't watch it, no. Is it good?
It's really good.
Okay.
But there's a great kind of commentary on that where he talks about he's like, I try to put myself in, you know, the parent position. Like, if this is my son and daughter – he's like, if my daughter came to me and was like a movie, like, Dad, I'm trying to be an actress, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, my daughter's, you know, a struggling actress, and somebody comes to her and they're like, you know, if you fuck me, I'll give you this like amazing role in something. He's like, I would be furious. I would go down there, and he's like, if that was like somebody, especially somebody who looked like Harvey Weinstein, I'd be mad. I'd go down there, I'd like beat the fuck out of that guy. He's like, if my son came to me and there was a woman who looked just like Harvey Weinstein, and she was like, if you fuck me, you'll be the next Spider-Man. I'd be like, holy shit, my son's going to be the next Spider-Man. So, I mean, I do think there is a little bit of a double standard.
Tremendously.
Here. Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not downplaying the Me Too movement. I don't know, man. It's just, we are overly politically correct. We have this president who, whether you have an opinion in one way or the other, is very... it's monumental in that it's affecting people in a tremendous capacity. Like,
do you think people have opinions on Donald Trump?
A little bit.
They should express that stuff, probably on social media.
Man, it's just awful, isn't it? I think I deleted so many people. Like, I don't care. When it was all, yay, Trump, I didn't care. I deleted those people. Now when it's like mega Trump, I don't want to hear that shit either. Like, there's a cool sentence. When Richard Nixon lost the election to JFK in 1960, they said, well, Dick, they stole it fair and square. And he just had to take the fucking hit, man. And it took 8 years and he came back and he got it. He stole it fair and square, man. He went out, he did it. And it's like, I don't like him. He's fucking paramount in every, that's not the word I'm looking for. He's really, really hitting a lot of buttons. I don't care. I just don't care. And then there was supposed to be a tax break, and everybody didn't get the tax break because then got all fucked up. So he was like, the one thing he was going to do for the people was like, oh, you'll have a huge tax break. Did you file your taxes yet?
Yes, I did.
Did you get anything back?
It was the biggest tax return I ever had.
A lot of people didn't have their W-2 corrected.
Right.
At the beginning of the year, and then I got all fucked
so
up.
And that's what it was. It's people had the way that they were claiming dependents and stuff.
Well, they got money all year, really. Yeah. And they were like, oh, it's good. And they thought at the end, I don't know. It is what it is. So you are not a football fan in any capacity.
Correct.
I am. The Eagles last year won the Super Bowl, which made me very happy.
I was in Canada.
The people who they defeated last year won it this year.
Okay.
Which is the Patriots. And Mr. Kraft. Is it Kraft? Is that it? The owner of the Patriots got caught today in a prostitution ring.
I saw that.
In Florida.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on
How
that?
How was he caught?
Well, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but he paid prostitutes. And then I guess your name's on a list.
Okay.
And it's a sex trafficking thing, which is really fucking bad. It isn't just hookers. It's like they're like bringing people in from other states.
Because like that actor, the one who allegedly staged the hate crime to get attention, he wrote them a personal check. The two guys that he paid. Like, just to make it that much better, like, he wrote them a personal check.
Couldn't
so like
cash.
Yeah, I saw clips of so the police department did like a press conference, and they were like, you know, the reporters, I guess, were asking like what sort of evidence they have, like, other than these people's word for it. He's like, well, the personal check he wrote them. So that's why I was wondering when I was saying, how did he get caught? Like, did he write checks for prostitutes? Because that's not how you do it. I heard.
I don't know how he got caught. And I'll tell you, he's a billionaire, right? So my theory is that when you're that wealthy, I don't know if he hurt anybody. I don't know the whole story. Paying for sex right. is one thing. I know it's technically illegal. If he was in Nevada, it wouldn't have been illegal. You know what I mean? He was in Florida. Mm-hmm. But I heard it's sex trafficking, which is way worse.
Yeah, well, so, and that's the thing too. Like, what were the circumstances of it? Like, there's a difference. I catch a lot of shit sometimes because whenever I talk about prostitution, I've personally never, like, fucked a prostitute. But I don't have a moral objection to it, I guess. Like, I just don't think that's the worst thing in the world.
Oh, no. You know what someone told me once? I've never done it myself either. There's too many women giving it away for free. Let's just start there. But someone said to me once, no, you pay them to leave. And no, and then it went to perspective. You're like, oh, wait. Because I've definitely had situations where I have finished, and in my head, I'm like, get out of my house. Get out of my house. Just want to go to sleep. Get out of my house. But then you're kind of stuck for a little while because you want to be like, you know, Harvey Weinstein or some shit or creepy.
Right.
But I've definitely had situations where it's like, all of a sudden when the ejaculate leaves little Vex, I'm like, yeah, I'm good.
I'm done.
Just get out.
Whatever your name was, you can go.
I don't want to hear your stories. No, it sounds sexist, but it's true. I've had that thought in my life. Not a lot, but a few times.
I don't think people, like, whatever the arrangement is between two adults, whatever it is they do, and I'm not just talking about prostitution. I mean, whatever you're into, whatever your thing is, it doesn't matter. If it's two adults and nobody's getting hurt and both sides are happy with their arrangement, who cares?
Well, then the beef is they don't tax it. So that's really what the government's pissed about.
Well, that's all the government cares about. But then, like, when I say stuff like that, sometimes when people bring up, like, sex trafficking and all, that's not what I mean.
No, it's different.
Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about, like, to be abundantly clear.
Like, to be a grown woman, 30 years old, and you're like, I'm going to do this for a while to make some money.
Right.
Quote, unquote, to go to college. Because every stripper in my life is like, I'm going to college. I don't believe you. I have some cocaine. Speaking of which, don't you have an interesting cocaine story of someone whose name we can't say?
Yeah, there's someone whose name we can't say. So years ago, I was shooting a video with an actress, as we already talked about.
Yes.
The acting profession. So the way that myself and the other people involved in that particular project were familiar with her is she had starred in a number of late night cable films.
Okay.
Of the romantic variety.
Of the adult romantic variety?
Yes, the adult romantic variety. So I was much younger then, but, you know, she would have been a grown woman when she made those films, and I was a kid when I had seen them, so she was older than us. So I found out, though, that she lived in the general area of where I was living at that time, so we were like, we got to get this lady in a video. So we called her, we got in touch with her. I don't even remember how. I remember it was tough. Like, it was
probably
hard
MySpace, actually,
to get in touch with. No, because so all right, I can't say this because this will give away who she is then. But there was something MySpace related. I found her. Yeah, it was through, like, other people, like somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody. Okay. It turned out she lived like 5 blocks from me. But so it took like 2 months of legwork to go 5 blocks from my house. So she was like, I want you to meet me at this fancy restaurant. You're going to buy me lunch. It was going to be like this courtship thing to get her to do the project. Turned out to be a Chinese food spot. Not bad, don't get me wrong. But not ritzy. Yeah. If you say fancy restaurant, that's not what would have popped into my head.
She's like, there's chairs.
Yeah. She's
it's not just a booth.
Tables and chairs. The food was fine, I guess. I didn't eat because I was standing outside waiting for her to arrive. It turned out she had gotten there even earlier than we did, went in and ate. I was waiting for us to show up so that we could pay the tab, which was fine. Like, I was going to pay for lunch anyway, but it just made it awkward, like, right from the start. And then there was the whole debate on how shaved she should be for it. Because she was, at first, she's like, I don't shave. She's like, unless you need me to shave. Or do you need it like a shape? Do you need it like.
But was she naked?
In the Chinese food restaurant?
No, in the filming.
Yes. Yeah, eventually.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, eventually she was going to be. So. Okay. But not in the Chinese food place. She was dressed in the Chinese food place.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, as far as I know, I wasn't there for like the first half hour. I was outside.
Yes.
So who knows what happened then. But so we did the filming in my dad's basement. So for anybody, obviously you don't know my dad, but for for everyone who doesn't know my dad's a pretty conservative guy. So this was a tough sell. And I'm like, I'm going to have this lady come over and we're just going to film some. Don't worry about it. So she shows up, and she had done at the Chinese food place. She was like, hey, I have a rule sort of on set, which is fine. Whenever you're dealing with actors and actresses, and it doesn't matter if they're workers of the adult variety or not, I like to find out what people's comfort levels are. I run a pretty laid back ship when I do stuff.
Okay.
So, and I'm not saying like anything creepy happens, but like, I want to know what people are comfortable with and not comfortable with. It's like, you know, food allergies or whatever. Or, you know, don't stick your finger in my ass. Like, whatever,
okay.
You know, that range. Yeah, whatever that is. Like, whatever you don't want to happen, tell us up front. It won't happen. So she was like, I can't be around drugs. I need, like, a drug-free environment.
Respectable.
Like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's fine. This is going to be a pretty professional thing. And it's in my dad's basement.
Exactly.
You know, professional. In my dad's basement. So what's the worst that could happen? So she shows up. She introduces herself to my dad. Tells him to stick around so he can see her naked. And then she pulls me to the side and she's like, hey, you got a little bit of coke? And I was like, what happened in the no drugs thing? And she's like, yeah, no drugs, but like a little bit of coke.
And you were like, I'm sorry.
I was like, when I said I don't have drugs, I meant I don't have drugs.
And she's like, but it's from the ground, man. Yeah. It's from plants. It's not like pharmaceuticals.
Natural, yeah.
We in Starscream traveled a lot in 2005, 2004, 2006, a lot. And we went to Virginia, I think, maybe Maryland. What's right next to D.C.? It's Virginia, isn't it?
Isn't both?
Probably. So we're right outside of D.C., whatever state it was.
It's all the South to me.
And it was like this, a place called the Firehouse Q, which is, I believe, no longer there. A really cool club. I'm thinking it's Maryland. I think it is. I don't know why. Whatever. So we're fucking in there. We travel. We play a couple shows a couple weekends. They're like, hey, you guys are really great. We love you. Come back. We're going to bring Tracy Gunn's version of L.A. Guns. Because at the time, they were very, very separate. He couldn't call it L.A. Guns.
There's
it
two was, again.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Tracy and the singer in one. So.
Right.
Ugh, fucking. One. Yeah. So they're like, yo, they're going to come play. It's like they're playing like a Thursday or Friday night. Come open. You're great. You'll love it. It'll be packed. It'll be a great show for you. And we're like, okay, cool. Load up the truck. I forget this fucking King Sam's pedal board, which is embarrassing. We get there. There's no fucking pedal board. It's what we're going to do. I'm like, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We figured it out. We play a set. Everything's cool. We had some beautiful young stripper women travel in a different vehicle to follow us from Philadelphia to this place. Long, complicated myriad of a story that I could probably tell you, but it's pointless. But they were attractive. One was this tall, statuesque, beautiful blonde with a fantastic body. And she had like a thick friend who was really cute, but just thicker. They were good looking girls, though. And then when you go to like a Tracy Gunn show in 2006 or 2007, whatever this was, there weren't a lot of lookers there. You understand? Like, it was just a lot of like washed up, weird, creepy old people. Like, oh, the 80s. Woo! So we had the best looking female, you know, staff, if you will, or accompaniment at the show. We're playing the show. We're done. Tracy won't go on. He won't go on. He won't go on. So I start talking to the people. They're like, yeah, he demands to be paid right now, but he doesn't want a check. He wants cash. So I had to send my manager to go get $5,000 in cash right now, or he won't get on the fucking stage. And we're like, oh, okay. So now the crowd's dissipating, right? Eventually they get on stage. They play well. They had a bizarre singer that didn't make a great deal of sense to me. He was like one of the original vocalists, like way back in the day. And his voice sounded like this.
Oh, is this when they were touring with Jizzy?
No, I love Jizzy Pearl, actually.
Okay.
I'm a Jizzy Pearl fan. This was not... See, Jizzy Pearl was famous on his own, though.
Right.
He was in Love Hate.
Yeah.
This is a guy that was never famous. He was just one of the many LA Guns singers. And then there was another guy. Remember when Dave Navarro had the Making of a Rockstar TV show?
You know, yes. Yeah.
One of the finalists on that got the gig later.
Okay.
And he was a really, really good singer. Marty something in the Love Hammers. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
They had this song called Trees. I love that fucking song. Anyway, this guy wasn't the singer at the time. And then Jizzy Pearl wasn't the singer at the time. And the real singer, Phil, wasn't the singer. It was just some fucking guy. But then he did like the Phil songs. It sounded okay. They get through the set. The drummer refused to have his drums mic'd, which blew my mind. He's like, I hit hard enough. Dude, he was this guy... He kind of looked like Tommy Lee's afterbirth. Like he was a bald guy, but he had hair on the sides and it was like cut really short. And he had like a shirt on with no sleeves and really old, creepy 50-year-old man arms and leather pants and big nose. He was a fucking car crash. And he did hit hard, but you got to mic the kick drum. It's a big fucking venue, kind of. You know what I mean? Hold 1,000 people at least. So they get through their set. Everything's fine. Tracy has his money. They're traveling around in a slightly better van than we are. Like we had a van. They had a van. Theirs is a little newer. But they had a trailer in the back and we didn't, so that was cool. And they're doing their thing. And I'm packing up my gear, and I look around, and our girls are gone. And I'm like, where the fuck are these women? We're trying to go, you know? And they were a little inebriated. And I had to go in to Tracy Gunn's personal dressing room. I just walked right in. There's no security. I'm like, hi, where's our girl? And he's like, hey, man, what's up? How you doing? I'm like, oh, it's Tracy Gunn. And I shook his hand. He's 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
And at the time, Nikki Sixx had just quit the Brides of Destruction to go back to Motley Crue. But I liked the Brides of Destruction. So I told him, I'm like, hey, man, I really like that Brides record you did. He's like, oh, you like that stuff, man? I'm like, yeah. He's like, hey, man. I'm like, do you have any meth? And I'm like, no, Tracy, I don't have any meth. I'm going to take these girls here, and we're going to leave now. Okay, bye, Tracy Gunn. Bye. And that's my Tracy Guns story.
I met Tracy Guns when his LA Guns, which Jizzy was singing for at the time, opened for Faster Pussycat.
I love Jizzy though.
Yeah, I thought they were good. I've never been an LA Guns fan. That's not like a shot at them.
There's
not
a lot of
like
good
that.
Songs though, really.
I'm just honestly not familiar with their catalog.
Okay.
So I just don't know that much of their stuff. In fact, my introduction to LA Guns was the American Hardcore record.
Oh, wow. You're late.
Yeah, which sounds nothing like the rest of LA Guns of either. Course. So, yeah.
So, what happened?
He was nice. I mean, it was just a brief. I was there to see Faster Pussycat.
Did he ask you for meth?
No, he didn't ask me for
meth. See, you got left out. He asked me for the meth. I guess because I was painted up like a whore, because that's what I look like, and I'm covered in tattoos. He's like, oh, this guy has some meth.
I didn't look whorish enough.
No.
Yeah.
And I had, like, trampy chicks with me. We were like, where's our strippers? Our strippers are gone? Where are they at? Oh, my God, they're in Tracy's fucking... Come here, strippers. God damn it. You're in the wrong dressing room. We didn't have a dressing room.
Damn it, strippers.
And then they threw up. They had to pull over and throw up in the car on the way home, and I held her hair, and she thought it was very... She's like, he held my hair when I puked. I went home with that girl.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah, I wasn't a gentleman.
No?
No.
Not when you got her home?
No. It was rough. It was nice. Yeah, whatever.
Do you ever worry about some girl coming back with the Me Too thing? It was like the Aziz Ansari?
No, because... And this sounds really weird to say it, but they were like, I didn't like attack people. I didn't. Right. They always came to me. Really, it wasn't like that. Like I pursued a couple of girlfriends that I liked a lot. And I wanted to like, they lived with my house for like 3 years. Like, you know, that girl's gonna be like, oh, he just attacked me, and I stayed for 3 years. Mm-hmm. No, I get along well with the ladies. I remember thinking about, you didn't make me famous enough, manager, so no one gives a fuck about Vex X. Like, they're not gonna come back.
Yeah, but now there's a new Starscream record coming out. I didn't have a new Starscream record before.
You had a single that was released that was Sony recorded, Universal released, man. Yeah. Remember that? Destroy Your Pretty Face. And that mix was so much better than the fucking mix we have now. And we hated that fucking
mix.
Shouldn't say that. It's true, though. He'll fix it. I just fucking... Half the record's completely finished. Like, in the can. We're going to master
really
it.
Sounds really good.
It does. You really?
It does.
Good. Joey's great on it, you know?
He is.
The drummer. And it's his first record, so he's writing his thank yous and sending them to me. And we had to figure out how we're going to write his name on the fucking record. He wants to be Joey Youngblood, which I think is pretty cool.
Nice.
Rock and roll. Kids.
Now, the thank yous thing. You do that?
Not all the time. Joey's going to put up extra money. So there's the book is going to be expanded on this record. It's his first record. So we're excited about it. Normally, I pay for everything. I wouldn't put a book in. But he wants my lyrics published. And the lyrics are pretty good, actually, if you take the time to read them. And you can now with this record. No one's going to buy the CD, though, are they? Like, it's going to be all downloaded and shit.
Yeah,
like,
it's going to be mostly digital.
It's sad.
Yeah, I'm not saying that like to negate the CD or anything. It's just that's how people consume music.
And we're going to make vinyls.
Yes.
For the first time ever. I always, one of the goals was to have a Starscream vinyl and hang it on my wall. You know what I mean? With the other stuff. So it'll be nice. Like this LP is going to be like the big rollout. You're going to get some press. You're going to put it out there. And
I think we should do a cassette at some point too.
I'm not opposed to it. It's just that it's a physical product. I'll tell you a story. The first Starscream record comes out in the summer of 2004. We sold 10,000 copies within the first year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but for like a little local band at the time who was just touring, that was pretty heavy. So 10,000 copies, gone. I didn't reprint. I was like, I'm going to take this money, and there was a lot of it. It adds up. I mean, think about it. Mathematically, 10,000 times, you know, $5 a record, it's good money. We took all that money and put it into the next record. Then the band broke up at one point, like broke apart. We had a new rhythm section, a lot of shit. We recorded that record like 3 different times, literally, and became Fire and Alcohol. We had it mastered in Sterling Sound by the guy who mastered Appetite for Destruction. He recently passed away, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, no, I didn't.
And it cost us $5,000 just for the mastering. I think it took him 25 minutes. He didn't even listen to the whole record. He was like, okay, guys, see you later. Fuck. And I remember some guy going, you know, if he masters it and his name's on there, that might get a label's attention. $5,000. We didn't even like how the mastering turned out. It was all right, but we didn't like it. Ironic that. So all this money goes into that second record. And their record just didn't sell. Like, that's when it was starting to shift, I think. Like, the record just didn't physically move. We didn't sell 10,000, I'll tell you that. I think we sold 5. And then the third record, I didn't even print 5. I think I printed, like, 2 or 3,000. And we still got copies. Like, just no one buys records, man.
No.
And 2004 and 2005, we couldn't keep... Actually, I'm a liar. Going back to our demos, from 01 to 05, I couldn't keep a CD. If we played a show, we sold that every time. And then it just stopped. It's so fucking weird to me. Because people still have CD players in their cars, technically.
Yeah.
But no one gives a fuck.
It's, you know, there's a lot of people who either didn't see it coming or didn't want to embrace it. So at the time when the shift started happening, I was working with black metal bands and death metal bands mostly. Sure. And they were 100% against it. Like, I remember trying to explain streaming to them. Like, we made a black metal record, and it was the first black metal record ever in, like, big box retail stores in the U.S. So, and I remember Yahoo licensed it. Yahoo was actually one of the first sites to start streaming music, like, before that was a popular
thing. Can you imagine that in 2019, Yahoo's dead?
Yeah.
Think about that. Like, if you'd have bought Yahoo stock in 1999 or 1998, mm-hmm. you'd be wealthy, and it would have taken a dive by 2010. It was dead.
Yeah.
Google just took over. But go ahead, I mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. But, like, they were, like, one of the first streaming things. And I remember, like, we got, like, royalty checks off that, and I gave it to them because their whole thing was, like, I was pushing the digital thing. They're like, okay, why don't you give us 1,000 CDs and you go sell the digital thing and we'll see who does better. And so I pressed up 1,000 CDs, gave it to them, and they came back. We did a tour and they were like, we sold almost our, you know, they sold 500, 600 CDs.
That's great.
Like that. And then over the next couple months, they moved everything. They're like, we're done our 1,000 CDs. They're like, how'd you do? I was like, I sold 10,000 downloads.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not, yeah.
It's not even a fucking,
like, it's not even comparable. And they're like, I don't even understand. Like, what's that? And then most of the pagan stuff has been predominantly digital. Like, there is physical releases, but they're few and far between. And we intentionally keep them smaller, like vinyl and things like that.
When a new album comes out, right, I can't even find some of them on CD. Like, the Struts are a band that caught on a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted the Struts record, and it wasn't released in the U.S. yet, but I could get a copy of it in Japan, and it was all over the radio, but you could have bought the download. And I have this aversion. I can't do it. I'll give an example. I have Verizon Fios in my house for my cable, and me and somebody wanted to watch a movie, and I'm like, oh, I'll rent the movie. No, you have to buy it. $15 and you can own the fucking movie. And I'm like, well, that's weird, because if I don't have Fios in 2 years, my contract's up, that movie's right. gone. But I'll always have Amazon Prime because obviously I've invited Amazon Prime into my fucking life like everybody else did. So I bought the same thing for a dollar cheaper on Amazon Prime, which is now my Amazon Prime account. But I want a physical DVD. Like, when you and I were in that film together, mm-hmm. that you made, not together, I was in it, you made it. I wanted the fucking physical DVD yeah. and I have it to mm-hmm. this day. And I can, like, be like, hey, I'm in this fucking movie. I don't know, man. How do you feel about that?
It's weird. So it's funny you say that because I just bought a movie before you picked me up tonight.
What'd you get?
Lords of Chaos.
Oh, okay.
The black metal
biopic. Yeah.
Which I was on the fence.
I heard it's not, like, that good, actually.
I mean, I'm not going to like it. And this is nothing against, it's nothing against the cast. It's nothing against Jonas Åkerlund, because I like his other stuff, the director. Sure. I was never going to like, I know those people that the movie is about.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm never, I have an opinion because I have real life to compare it to. So, like, yeah. Like, I know most of the people who are portrayed.
But he's still got your $15, though.
It's true. Yeah, I didn't even pay $15 for it, but I did buy a digital copy of it. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, had I gone to see it in a theater, it would have, you know, I would have taken somebody with me. It would have been like $15 each.
Sure.
It would have been like $30 versus.
Which is how I justified it that night. Like, it was the Green Book.
Okay.
Which is all for the Oscars, a few of them. Mm. And I wanted to see it, and I missed it in the theater. But if you take a date to the theater, you're looking at $30.
Right. And that's before you buy drinks or dinner afterwards.
Oh,
or...
I have candy in my jacket because I'm a loser.
Mm.
And then I buy a bottle of water. And then that's how that works. Yeah. I'm scummy.
The only thing I buy in theaters is ices.
What are ices?
They're like the Slurpees at the movie theaters.
Nah, I can't drink any of that shit.
No.
I can't even handle it. Like,
that's the only place, though. Like, I would never buy, like, a Slurpee, like, at a place that I was out at. Like, if I'm at a rest stop or somewhere that sells those, like, I would never buy it there. But in a movie theater, I buy it.
Why?
I don't know. It's weird. I'm weird. Like, so, like, do you drink coffee?
Here's the thing. Caffeine doesn't actually affect me. But I like the taste of coffee.
See, I like the taste of coffee.
So I do drink coffee, not daily. Like, you know when I drink coffee when I go, like, I was just in Mexico a few months ago. So I had a lot of coffee when I was there.
Mm.
It just it makes me go to the bathroom. It doesn't keep me awake. When I was in the Dominican Republic last summer, which was fucking glorious, that's like the greatest coffee on the planet Earth. I had a cappuccino with every meal, to the point sometimes two cappuccinos. They were just so good. But then I was pooping my brains out. But yeah, I like coffee. Why?
So I drink coffee pretty regularly. I stopped for a long time because I gave up caffeine for a while. Not like a medical thing or anything. I just realized, like, I was super addicted to caffeine.
Yeah, I'm not. Fortunately not.
Yeah, and I'm not like an addictive personality person. Like, I've done a lot of drugs, like, all joking aside. But I'm not a drug addict. Like, I've never... you know, wanted drugs or anything. Like, I do drugs because I'm an asshole.
Oh, yes.
And it was just destructive, stupid behavior. Like, it wasn't like, I have to do this. And the same thing with drinking and stuff like that. So I'm lucky in that sense. Like, I don't typically have an addictive personality, but with caffeine, like, it was like, I don't like soda, but I was drinking soda, like, just for the caffeine.
Yeah, I hate soda too.
To, like, get me between coffees. Like,
can I tell you a weird soda mm-hmm. story? I was a little kid. My mother never introduced me to soda. Like, I never ingested it. I drank milk, actually, and juice, I guess, because kids drink juice. I liked apple juice a lot. I liked Kool-Aid, right? Mm. And then I would go to somebody's birthday party. You're five, you're six, you're seven, and they're like, always have soda. I'm like, oh, let me try some soda. And I would drink it and it would burn my tongue because of the carbonation, which I didn't like. But I was like, no, I can soldier through this. I'm six. I'm a tough guy. I figure, you know, right? And then I was taught when you're around people, you hold your burps in, okay? You can't, you gotta, right? Mm. And when you drink soda and you burp and hold it in, all of it goes through your nose. And it's like someone punched you in the fucking nose when you're six, and my eyes are watering. I'm like, what is happening? Fuck this soda shit. So I go to parties, they'd be like, oh, do you want something to drink? I'm like, do you have any milk? And they're like, are you really six? I'm like, yes, milk, please. They'd give me some milk and look at me really fucking weird. Why is he drinking milk? I'm like, it's fucking good. It's milk.
The fuck is wrong with this kid?
Exactly.
Now, the caveat to that is I love ginger ale. I'll drink ginger ale.
Which is technically good for your stomach.
Is it?
Yeah, the ginger.
I just like it. I like ginger ale. But that's, to me, not like regular soda. Like, regular soda just tastes like drinking sugar to me.
If we pour ginger ale in the hood of the car and Coca-Cola in the hood of the car, Coca-Cola will make a hole.
Yeah, real. I've heard that before. Like, do you remember the Mountain Dew rat thing a few years ago?
No.
So somebody tried suing. I don't know if it's who makes Mountain Dew. Is it Pepsi or Coke?
Like, it's, I know that. I have no fucking
idea. One of them owns Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is not like its own company. It's okay. Like Pepsi or Coke. And somebody tried to sue them because they said there was either a rat or a mouse or something in their can of Mountain Dew. So they said they opened it and they had like pictures and stuff they were posting online, and there was like a dead mouse in there. So Pepsi or Coke, whichever one it is, I'm sorry, you can Google it. Their retort to it was amazing because they were like, that's not possible. They said the person staged that, and they're like, I didn't stage that. And they were like, soda's packaged like months before it hits the store shelves. There's so many preservatives and sugar and stuff in it. Like, it takes months for it to go bad.
Sure.
So it's packaged, transported. And by the time you get it, they're like, there's so many corrosive chemicals in Mountain Dew that it would dissolve the rat or the mouse long before it ever hit store shelves. You would have never known there was a mouse there.
Oh my.
So that was their like proof. That was their argument in court, and they won. They were like, no, this shit is so bad for you. They were like, it would eat through the skin and bones of an animal if it was inside of it.
For 3 months.
Yeah. They were like, there would be nothing. Like, you would have no idea that was there. So a website did a test, like, to see how long it would actually take. Because they tried to argue it, and eventually, I guess, they dropped it. But the Pepsi or Coke, whichever it was, said the only thing that might have been left would be, like, a piece of tail.
Okay.
Because that would be, the fleshy tail would be, like, the hardest part to dissolve. So they did it on the site. They like poured a 2-liter Mountain Dew in like a container and dropped a rat in it, like one of those science rats.
Sure.
The formaldehyde rats, and they put a thing on it and they did like a motion. It was like days before all that was left was the tail.
Oh my God.
And even the tail by like a week or two was gone.
Oh my God. Yeah,
so it was actually, they were like, no Pepsi or Coke or whatever. They're like, it's worse than you said it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There was just nothing left.
And you want to put that in your intestines.
Like. Yeah. It's fascinating. But I do like Baja Blast.
I don't even know what that is, man.
It's this weird Mountain Dew. They only sell at Taco Bell. So I don't like Taco Bell, but I like the Taco Bell brand soda. Did you see Taco Bell was voted like the best Mexican restaurant?
Fuck, really?
Yeah. I'm not Mexican, so like I'm not commenting on the authenticity of Mexican food one way or the other. But I'm pretty sure it's not that.
Did you ever remember a movie called Demolition Man?
Yes, I love Demolition
Man. So do I, actually. Yeah. What was the name of all restaurants in the future?
It was Taco Bell.
Yes, right? Taco Bell bought all restaurants.
They, for Demolition Man's anniversary, they did like the fancy Taco Bell at one of the Comic-Cons. Taco Bell set up like a mini restaurant modeled after the Demolition Man restaurant, like the fancy Taco Bell.
Well, now, I love that movie too. Mm-hmm. Why was it not a hit? Like,
I don't know.
He had a young Sandra Bullock. She was really pretty back then.
And that was like right after Speed, right? So that was like...
It was before.
Was it before Speed?
Because she was famous after Speed. Oh, okay. She was just like a nobody. She was just a pretty young girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, what a... And you're like, and then Benjamin Bratt's in it. He's not famous. Mm. Dennis Leary's in it. Like,
that's right. I forgot
he's
in it.
It's a pretty fucking good movie. Dude, I saw something the other night. It should have just been Wesley Snipes in the movie. And like, obviously, it was just a guy who looked like Wesley Snipes. What the fuck movie was that? I have no idea. But this guy, like, Wesley Snipes is a type now. So, like, Nino Brown, Demolition Man, they're just the Wesley Snipes character, Blade, right? Mm. And in this movie, there was a guy, like, oh, that's the Wesley Snipes guy. I guess they couldn't get Wesley. What the fuck happened with that whole thing? I'm not going to pay taxes? Fuck you, send me to jail.
Kind of.
You know? Do you know that story?
Yeah, he's been in jail a few times now for it.
I thought it was once.
No, it's a couple times.
What happened?
He just doesn't pay his taxes. He's like, fuck you, send me to jail for a couple months. Yeah. Jesus. I mean, he calls their bluff. Like, there's only so much time that they're going to give you, I guess. I mean, the reality of, like, tax evasion, like, I know it's the famous thing for, like, getting Al Capone and stuff like that. But the reality of it is they don't want to put you in jail, because if you're in jail, you're not making money. So they're not making money off you. In fact, you're costing them money.
I heard that if you file and don't pay your taxes, you can't go to jail. Like, they will fine you and they will take your house and they might come take your car.
Right.
But if, as long as you legally file every year like you're supposed to, like, because then my accountant's like, oh, you have to pay this. And sometimes I'm like, no. This year I did, though. I paid it right then. Because you can pay online now.
Okay.
It's all quicker. But, yeah, so the legality of it is, as long as you file, you didn't break the fucking law. It's just the not paying. It kind of sucks. They don't like it. They're going to fine you. But he just didn't file.
Yeah.
And he made millions of dollars. Yeah. Now, I remember something. I was pre-law for a little while. This thing fucking years ago. That when your mother or your father get you a social security number, they have contractually obligated you to paying tax. But as your baby's born and you don't give them a social security number, they're not obligated to pay taxes. Did you know what you can't do without a social security number?
Like anything, right?
Go to school.
Yeah.
Get a driver's license.
Right.
You can't exist. You can't get a job in America without a social security number. So they made it so you can't. Another thing, check this out. I was raised by people who were part of the Great Depression. I had a great uncle. His name was Tony, who was fucking 70 years old when I was a little kid. And he told me, and they told me, that when they came out with the social security number, they promised and promised and promised that you will not be identified by this number. Your name is your name. You are not a number. I went to college in went to college in 1993, and I walked in, they're like, what's your social security number? I'm like, what about my name? They're like, we didn't ask. What's your social? And my dad made me memorize before I went, which annoyed me. I got like 17. I was like, hell, I don't need that. I have a name. He's like, listen, dummy. Know this fucking number backward and forward. You need it. I'm like, no, I don't. I'm a fucking American. First question. Hi, welcome to Temple University. What's your social security number? I'm like, I don't know. Look at this piece of paper. So, yeah. The number's everything. Which is scary. Then I remember back in the day, remember when 1984, the book, was like,
yes,
like the Orwell thing, it was like a big deal, and they were like, oh, Big Brother. They're like, we're gonna put a tracker under your skin, blah blah blah. Mike, they tricked us. They made us buy the tracking device. It's on all of our hips and all of our pockets right now. And when you leave your house without it, you're like, oh my god, where's my phone? I have to go back and get it. They win. They fucking did it, man. I don't have it in my house, but if you have Alexa, you ever say to Alexa, are you part of the CIA? It just turns off. Did you ever say that fucking shit?
So I'm a big smart home user.
I'm so anti. I'm so anti. I'll never do it. I don't give a fuck. Never. Like, I had the Fire Stick from Amazon for a little while. It never turns off. Did you know that? Fuck that. I unplugged it, threw it away. I don't need that shit in my life. Fuck that Fire Stick. So why are you a big, like, why?
I like it.
That's it?
Like,
that's all you got?
Yeah, I like integrating technology. So I'm not a fan of the government. let me be clear. I'm not a big fan of the government. So I was fucked around a lot as a kid by the government. And then I've had, as an adult, a few clashes. I was under investigation by the federal government. We had our radio station shut down, not directly for us, but because of government regulation changes. And then for the federal thing, they seized my passport, which caused me all kinds of problems because we had to cancel a trip we were supposed to do. And it's just been a nonstop thing. And then we had a run-in with police shooting a video, which became our song Killing Culture. That became the basis for that.
Ah, yes.
So like, we've had different run-ins and stuff like that. But I'm not paranoid about the government using Alexa and using, because if they're going to, like, they're just going to do that stuff anyway. Like, we live in a more controlled society than people think. Because people are like, oh, I'm not going to bring Alexa into my house because somebody's going to use it to listen to me. Like, they didn't have any evidence to get a warrant for the investigation against me. So they forced me to comply with an investigation by seizing my passport for no reason, which they're allowed to do because they issue the passports.
Touché.
So they don't, like, they can just do whatever they want because they make the rules.
I did this naughty thing a long time ago. I wasn't born VexX.
I know.
I had a passport under the old name.
Do you still?
When I legally changed it, they never asked me to turn it in. So I kept it. sadly, I've been VexX so long now that it's expired. Mm-hmm. But I had this thought in my mind. I was like, if I ever kill my wife, I have a passport. No, it doesn't matter. It's expired, and I'm divorced, so I think we're good. But like, it's I was like, you never know if you're gonna fuck up and something could happen. So for like a while there, I had two passports. I thought it was pretty fancy. And then I was like, if I gotta leave. And then I remember, actually, I didn't have two passports. I never got a new one for the Vex name. And then me and my second wife had to go on a trip somewhere, and she just got the ticket under the old name, and it was still a legal passport. And I was like, no one knows I have this. So if I gotta bounce, I'm good. You know.
Where would you go if you're running away?
Well, this is so sad to say out loud. I don't know the countries off the top of my head with no extradition. I should know.
Say extradition wasn't a thing. You could just go wherever.
When you go to Mexico?
Me? No, I'll never go to Mexico.
Why?
I'm afraid of Mexico.
I'm not.
Yeah, it's nothing against, again, nothing against Mexicans. It's their terrible country now. In my mind, this is what happens. I fly there, get off the plane. The second I put my foot on the ground of Mexican soil, I'm arrested for no reason. I'm thrown in a jail, which is just a cage on a dirt floor. And that's where I spend the rest of my life.
Okay, that's not how it is at all.
I know. That's not based on anything either. Like, I know a lot of people who've been to Mexico, had great times. This is not based on reality. It's just my own weird thing. I've been in Nicaragua. Which is a war-torn third world country run by drug cartels. And not here's the best part. I illegally snuck in to Nicaragua. I was in another country that borders Nicaragua. And we went to Nicaragua. Won't go to Mexico.
Why?
It's not based on anything. That's the thing.
I'm
a fan of Mexican culture and food and women. But no.
I got to tell you. So if I could go, if I was, no, am I running or it doesn't matter where I go? It doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter.
Well, then I would just go to like a beautiful tropical climate. Like I would just go to the fucking Florida Keys or something. You know what I mean? Like that direction. I like the Dominican Republic a lot. I don't know if you know this about the Dominican Republic, but you know how we have Dunkin' Donuts here and you can get coffee in every corner?
Right.
You can get liquor and beer on every single corner as a drive-in.
It's a beautiful
thing. And it's legal. Yo, the scary.
You're not a drinker.
I know. It's the scariest place to be. And everybody's on a motorcycle with no helmets and there's 35 people on a motorcycle. Like, it's fucked up. Like, people die constantly. Baseball players come from the Dominican Republic, come to America, become rich and famous, fly home to see their families, die in a car accident. Happens, like, all the fucking time. It's the worst place. And so, I go there because the beaches are exquisite. The food's really good. The people are great. Like, I really like the people. And the drive from the fucking hotel, I'm sorry, from the airport to the hotel, I'm scared to death. Just scared to death.
There was a couple of points when we were in Costa Rica where you're on like a rickety tour bus on the side of a mountain.
Yep, I've been there. I was in Jamaica for one of them.
Yeah. It's just like, this is how I fucking die.
And they just weave in and out of traffic going fucking 70. And you're like, and the guy's like, oh, those are dead. I'm like, oh my God, we're going to fucking die. Yeah. But yeah, I love motorcycles a lot. I couldn't ride a motorcycle in Dominican Republic. Like, I would just die. I just couldn't do it. Like, I would be dead tomorrow. Fuck, Vex is dead. No one even cares. I mean, move you over, keep driving. Like, there's no traffic laws. It doesn't exist. It's a scary, weird fucking thing. I guess I'd go to Canada. I don't know where I would go. I like England a lot because they speak English, obviously.
Do you like Canada?
Yeah. You know what I saw? I saw Coming to America in a Canadian movie theater. And I remember thinking there was no difference between Canada and America. There isn't. The price differential, we were like, I don't smoke cigarettes, but they're astronomical there. Because you have to ship everything in. Oh, I'm a liar. No, that's not true, because Hawaii is part of America. I couldn't go to Hawaii if I'm running away. I love Hawaii, though. I want to end there.
Never been there.
I got to be honest.
I'm thinking about Puerto Rico, though, in the near future.
As a visit or to stay?
Visit.
Because I know a little bit about Puerto Rico, and from certain sections of my life had crossed over into there, and the government over there is atrocious. After the whole last storm thing, electricity still isn't restored in a lot of places. Like, it's a scary situation. And it's, I'll be honest though, when it's up and running and it's smooth, it's just like here. It's really nice. It's like, I like Puerto Rico a lot, actually. It's hot, but there's beautiful, breathtaking beaches. But there's rough spots. You got to go. You'll like it. I can't believe you just get Mexico. Like, Mexico's like the first place you go when you're like 18. Like, let's go far in somewhere.
Yeah, I've never been to Mexico.
I was there in fucking December. It was glorious. So, all right. We're musicians, right? That's what we are. I'm on Instagram. I'm like, hey, I'm in Mexico. Boozdy, boozdy, bop. And some guy I know is friends with the guitar player from Disturbed. And I am not a fucking fan of Disturbed, by the way. And I'll tell that fucking story in a second, too. But anyway, the guitar player from Disturbed is paying two hotels down from where I'm staying. My friend's like connecting me on fucking Instagram. He's like, hey, you guys are near each other. You should hang out. Or no. No. Fucking Disturbed. Dude, we went to fucking England in 2002. We're like this tour. They put us in a 3,000-seat venue, which is fucking massive, right? Massive, at least to us. We're doing the sound check, and then we got hours to kill. So we're going to go, we're like, all right, we're going to flyer, because there's no fucking social media back in 2002. And there's a line of people across the street. I'm like, I don't know what that line's about, but let's go flyer over there. I'm like, come see the American band. Like, mate, we are. Look up. Disturbed playing the 10,000-seater that night. Dun, dun, dun. And they sold out, and no one came to our fucking show. It was us and like 74 people. When there's 74 people inside of a 3,000-seat arena, not good.
Yeah, I've been there. We did an arena show here, the biggest show in the black metal days. And they fucked us over. It wasn't the venue's fault. They had switched from using Ticketmaster to somebody else, and they didn't ship the tickets until like days before the show. So only like a few hundred people got their tickets. So I think there's like 200 and change people who actually received their tickets and were able to show up, which in a club would be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in an arena, it's not so awful. Much. Yeah. Like basically looks empty.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. You'd almost want less people. Bro, in like 2002 or 2003, we did a huge metal raw, like fucking, what are they called? The outdoor
like concert. A festival?
Yes. We go to a metal festival in Virginia. We go there. There's a lot of great bands. No one showed up. Like, no one. Like, it was gigantic. The stage was massive. The lights were massive. You had more fun back at the hotel rooms with all the shitty bands just hanging out and fucking around. Dude, going to the show is like soul-killing. Like, these are pro bands. And we were trying to be a pro band on a monster stage with great lights. And there's like 250 people, like you said, like in this giant fucking place. It was so awful.
So I was super lucky, and I think that this is what made it even worse. So we had done a festival prior to that where we played an arena, but that was a festival.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just us and a bunch of bands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was like an actual legit festival, and it was with the New Wave British Heavy Metal Supergroup. So it was like somebody from Motorhead, couple of the Judas Priest guys, sure, somebody from Maiden or something like that. They were the headliners and we were like main stage.
Great.
So, I mean, there was thousands of people there. So we're like, this is it. Like we fucking made it. Like fucking rock stars. And then because of that, we were getting bigger and bigger shows and selling them out. Like everything was going great. So we ended up doing the arena show and they fucked it. Like the ticket thing fucked us over. But what I, even if there were more people there, I think ultimately we only sold like 500 or no, like 600 tickets,
which is still
like
pretty good.
Which is pretty good, but what made me mad, and this has consistently happened, and this is why I don't like, for the most part, I don't like playing with other bands anymore. Like a lot of times when I play, like it's either Pagan or it's just me when I do the ambient sets.
Okay.
And a big part of that, I don't like charging bands to like be on a show that I put together.
Sure.
Like I feel weird.
Pay
doing
to
that.
Play.
Yeah, I don't like that, but nobody else sold tickets to that show. And like we put a bunch of bands on that arena show. And this was like a huge opportunity for them because none of those bands exist anymore. So like this was a good opportunity for them to like really get out there. And we had sold like 600 tickets or whatever it was for it. And nobody sold any other tickets. Not that their people would have gotten their tickets, but still.
Not that the tickets would have been received, but had they received them.
But it's frustrating. Like I hear a lot of both sides of the pay to play thing. And while I've never done it, like charge somebody to play, like I get it. Like you want the bands to actually work and promote the show and stuff. And if they don't, I see the point, because if they don't have something online, unfortunately, a lot of bands just don't put the work in.
Yeah. Lackadaisical musicians. Yeah. It's a thing.
I mean, there was a show, so we're not going to name names, but there was a show, there was a national touring band with you. And you guys were an opener on that, and you sold your tickets. And the other opener, who was very bragging about how they were asked how they got on this bill, ended up not selling any tickets.
I don't remember what the fuck.
Hold on. I'm not going to say the names.
He didn't say the names, but we paused the show, and he reminded me. Yeah, we drew really well that night, and there were more of our T-shirts, Starscream's, in the crowd than there were of the national band.
Starscream definitely sold more tickets than anybody to that show.
That was great.
But there was a band on the bill who was bragging all over social media about being on the bill, and ultimately didn't bring anyone to the show.
But being on the bill, they weren't bragging they sold tickets or anything either.
No, they were bragging about how they were on the bill and like they had made it.
They no longer exist, though, right?
None of those bands exist anymore except for you.
Straight Line doesn't exist?
I don't think so. Do they?
I think they might.
I'm going to Google it.
You're going to Google it right now?
I'm going to use the Google.
It's worth a Google. Speaking of Google, did you hear about that new device that came out? It was the home security thing from Google. And there was not supposed to be anything in it that would like be a microphone. And they just found a microphone in the fucking the home security unit.
For no reason. Really?
And it was on 24/7.
What are you going to do?
No, not yet. What are you going to do? It's like fucking disturbing, man. Like this is Big Brother watching you literally.
Eh. What are you going to do?
That's all we get. Why you Google? It's worth a Google.
So it doesn't say that they broke up, but they haven't done anything since 2015. Was their last record.
Yeah, but that's not a big deal.
Sure it is.
What label?
On the last record?
Yeah.
Let's see. It was self-released.
Oh, that says it all.
Yeah, they were on E1. They must have gotten dropped.
I remember seeing them for the first time on... What was that huge... I want to say Mayhem Tour?
Mayhem Festival?
Yeah, but it was sponsored by Rockstar.
Rockstar, yeah.
But man, it makes me sad they canceled that because that was a fun show to go to. And I don't know... How could they have not made money on that? It was always sold out. Like
festivals don't usually make money.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like Ozfest made money because you had to buy on. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Every band had to pay $100,000 to Sharon Osbourne to be on the fucking tour.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good times.
But that's how they made the money. Like they didn't make money off of tickets.
Again, people were all over that shit, dude.
Think about how much it costs though to put on a show like that. So to give a perspective, like the arena show that we played, which was a tiny place compared to
an Ozfest
kind of place, like that cost thousands of dollars to put that show on.
I guess so.
Renting the venue, hiring security, paying all the
And you're insurance. Talking about like 3 and 4 multiple stages.
Right.
Like that's a big deal.
Then like this was a couple thousand seat play. It was a boxing arena. So this was like a 4,000 seats.
I loved Mayhem though. It was a great fucking show. I saw them, that band that we're not going to say their name, for the first time ever. They were great. They were fucking great. And then we got to open up for them like a year and a half later, which to me was awesome. And then Scorpion Child, who actually I don't like the most recent record, but their first record is stellar. And I saw them on this little tiny side stage. And they were this great rock and roll fucking band from Texas. I loved them. There was like, I got to meet them. And then they got into like a much smaller vehicle than I tore in. And they left. And I was like, wow, maybe I'm doing a little bit well there. I don't know. But they were in a fucking label. I think Nuclear Blast or something. And they're still around. They're still banging around. They're a good band. I didn't like the second record. Do you ever heard Scorpion Child at all?
Like one or two songs.
Good band, dude. I don't know. What's the last live show you saw?
Last live show I saw. I just went to something. What the hell did I go and see? Oh my god.
I saw Weezer about a month ago.
That was Weezer.
Fucking glorious.
Yeah.
They covered Paranoid at the end. I love me some Sabbath. It was great, dude. Like I left that show like smiling and happy and like it was a huge like relief. And it was a new place, the Met.
How is it?
It's really cool. It's like it's kind of like the Tower but cleaner and nicer.
Okay.
Like really nice. Intimate venue, good great stage, great lights. The Weezer cover record. What do you think of that shit?
I only heard a couple songs off of it. I liked the Africa cover, although it's basically like an exact copy. Like they didn't really put.
They didn't want to though.
Kind of stamp on it, which is fine. I heard the TLC cover, which I wasn't as into.
They cover me and you and me.
Okay.
So happy together. Oh my god! As a child, for some reason, that song was haunting to me. I don't know what it is, like the chords and what the person's singing melodically over it, but like they cover it, it's fucking great, man. And I want to buy a physical CD of it, and I can't. It's
Doyle. Like,
what's Doyle?
That's the last show I was at. I knew I was going to get there eventually.
Oh.
Doyle from the Misfits.
So that's recent.
Yeah.
Because he was like the Misfits reunion thing.
Mm-hmm.
AC Slade's the rhythm fucking guitar player. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, he's part of the backing band.
It's crazy to me. He's from a fucking Philly band. But he's not really. He was in the Something Dolls.
He played with Murder Dolls for a little bit, but his main thing is he played with Dope.
I thought the Murder Dolls were first. That was like his big claim to fame. And that was the side band of the guy from fucking Slipknot.
Right.
So that was like, and they played like Donington and shit with the Murder Dolls. I remember.
Well, Murder Dolls had not just him, but it also had Wednesday 13.
That's true. We opened up for Wednesday 13 at the Truck.
How was that?
Good. It's weird because now he's still touring, playing much, much smaller venues, which made me sad because the Truck was kind of sold out when he played it. Like, I don't get that. It was a fun night. We fucking won that crowd over. They loved us. I had them screaming, Starscream. Who are we? Starscream! Who are we? Starscream!
I like Wednesday 13, so this isn't like a shot at him. But I'm sure it was because the residual of Murder Dolls.
Oh, yeah, but still, it's a fucking thing. Yeah, it sucks to say this out loud, and I'm sorry. It's all like a Marilyn Manson bastardized version, really. Because Manson took it all from Alice Cooper and modernized it. And every one of these bands is like a knockoff of that. that whole like gutter punk rock and roll thing. That's
so with when the where I'll disagree a little bit is with Wednesday 13. It's more direct correlation to the Misfits, I would say.
I wouldn't though, because of the original Misfits. No, if you watch Wednesday 13, and I did, I was fucking there. It's a Manson fucking knockoff. It's a 90s Manson.
It's a little more Manson-ish, like later on, but he started off in the horror punk band Frankenstein Drag Queens, are direct like Misfits.
Man, Hybrid Theories? No, Hybrid Moments. The Hybrid Theories is a different band. Hybrid Moments. I fucking Misfits? Love that song. Yeah.
I love the Misfits.
You're gonna scream with me. Oh my god, I love it so much.
I'm a huge Misfits guy.
God damn, man, classic Misfits is just where it's at. Here we go. Scream with me. So I'm VexX. This has been episode 44 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Michael Belinsky, thank you for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
And just listen to fucking Misfits, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this, but they used this over the credits of the first Jackass movie.
Did they? I forgot that.
And it comes on, and you're like, oh my god, it's my childhood. Like, they get it. The guys in Jackass fucking get it. So I'm VexX with Michael Belinsky. We are available on the Podbean application on your phone under the Loud and Loaded Network. Thanks for fucking hosting us, Mike. It's fucking awesome. We appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, thank you.
And this is VexX telling you to stay frosty.